It doesn't show mine being recorded.
It said it online.
Yeah, I think we had that issue the last time.
You mean it's being recorded, but it doesn't show that it is?
Correct.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, this is August 24th, 2016, the Courtroom Observer Conference Call, and I really don't have anything new to report. I'm really asking more people that get a hold of me for, you know, their case. I seem to have to tell them, you know, where to go to fill out a Courtroom Observer thing, but I also really encourage them to get on this call so they can let us know what's going on with them. And it sounds like Mark Cordova, the one that was being falsely accused, I mean, they just keep dragging him through the mud about some sexual harassment thing that wasn't really real or something like that. Anyway, he seems really, I talked to him today, and he seems really happy with Crystal, this woman. Oh, Crystal, who is our regular person on here. She's been really helping him, and he seemed really happy today. He's still being drugged through the mud, but he's got them really confused. They don't know what to do with him. And
the guy in Vegas?
Huh?
Just the guy in Vegas?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, okay.
And so, and then I got a call from, you know, his name is Dwight Class, and he's interested in Courtroom Observers. And then I got, I got a really neat call. I may have mentioned it before, but it was a few weeks ago. This older gentleman who doesn't have internet, doesn't have a smartphone, and they were, I don't know exactly what they were trying to do, but they were really trying to railroad him and actually put him away without any record. They were just going to take him. And I can't remember what he was doing, but he was a feisty person, you know, so maybe he, you know, rubbed somebody the wrong way. But he gave me 5 hours notice to send out a notice for his court. And I did. I sent it out, and somebody went.
Wow.
And he said he left me the best message saying that it saved him. Literally saved him. So that was pretty neat. You know, complimented National Liberty Alliance and everything. So that was nice. And other than that, I'm just asking anybody if they've got any cases coming up or they have anybody they're going to help. Got any news? You know, like... guy last week had news about Sheriff Clark and a judge that went against the grain and actually did common law, whether he...
You there, Laura?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, who was that?
I just muted yep. Somebody. A lot of noise. There he goes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Any chance to intervene here? I would like to call in and talk to you about your Courtroom Observer opportunities.
Yeah.
Yes, my name is Dennis from Tennessee, and I am in federal court right now. After two remands back to state court, I filed a civil RICO, and I have a federal judge by the name of Waverly D. Crenshaw that I filed paperwork, two affidavits, to ask him to recuse himself, and he has not. And I certainly could use some courtroom observer and support here in Tennessee. That's where I'm at, Nashville, Tennessee. Is there any opportunity for that through your organization?
Yeah, do you know how to get on the website and actually fill out a courtroom observer form? Or you must? It doesn't sound like it.
Do you work with Eric Hughes Jones?
I have no idea who that is.
Are you? You guys are a separate. See, I got this telephone number from the past. I don't know. Are you guys associated with Colorado Group?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Wow, I don't know how I got you guys' telephone number, but somebody obviously gave it to me, but. But no, I've been an advocate. I wrote a book titled Attorneys Above the Law 5 years ago in October, this coming October. A lot of people said I would never live a year with what I exposed in my book, and, well, here I am. I'm still alive. And but I've been retaliated against dramatically. Me and my family even killed our family pet a year ago this last June.
Oh.
And I'm being retaliated like hell wouldn't have it. I'm fighting the system. I'm in federal court. I have an airport issue that I've exposed fraudulent activity. I'm a whistleblower. They don't like what I'm doing, and they're retaliating against me. And do I need people's help from all over the United States? I really do. I can't overemphasize that. So what you guys do, God love you, God bless you, because a courtroom observer and people showing up is one of the greatest things I've heard that does help support people that are standing up against this tyranny in the system. So many kudos to you folks.
If I could interject for a second, this is Scott from South Carolina.
Okay.
We have over 5,000 members, so nobody knows everybody. He may not be on it, but I still recommend you to us as a member. Just a thought. I mean, you know, we're all over the United States, so.
Damn, that's outstanding. I was wondering how many people you had. My full name is Dennis Schulke. Many people have heard me on talk radio shows. I've been on talk radio shows all over the United States and Global Universal Radio. I wrote a book titled Attorneys Above the Law. You know, out of 5,000 people that are courtroom observers, there's probably a fair percentage that have actually heard of me and who I am. And
you're a dark kind of guy there, buddy.
Well, thank you. It's only my divine pleasure. If I knew there weren't good, hard-working people out there, I would have never taken the plea and the charge to stand up for the working class and stand up against the lawyer class who has formed the oligarchy and taken over all three branches of government and enslaved us all. It's that simple. So that's been my motto and my chant for going on literally 5 years without a literal income to fight this damn system. And we have come a long ways, because the many researchers have exposed the fundamentals of how they've taken over all three branches of government and enslaved us, and we don't need to get into that. But Laura, if I caught the name Laura, if someone can contact me, I'm going to be doing some filing tomorrow in federal court in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. That's going to blow the doors off of some of these yahoos. But I do need support. I can't underestimate how much I need support from all you loving kind of people that we don't know each other, but we know we stand for the same mission. And a lot of times it's love at instant unsight. I know the way it works. There's so many wonderful people out there. Anytime I go out and do speaking engagements or just out in the public and this and that, or their gatherings, you know, I know there are like-minded people everywhere. It's just that we have to align ourselves, because we, the people, have the real true force and the power, and they fear us when we get together in numbers. They really do. It's just that simple. So, but I do need people's help, and maybe the timing of just getting on this call tonight was good. So,
well, right, but let me explain how you fill a courtroom observer form and how it goes out. So if first thing, you want to become a member of National Liberty Alliance. It's free. You go to nationallibertyalliance.org, and it's the first page. It says Join National Liberty Alliance, and it takes, I don't know, Carl, maybe you could, are you the one that vets the members, the new members?
No, that's generally Gary who still does that, or Jan.
Okay.
That's a good question, because I don't actually look it over that much anymore, so let me.
But does so? Is there a day or two or something for?
Yeah, generally a day or two.
Okay, then once you get in, then you have access. I mean, even if you're not a member, you have access to certain pages. But when you're a member, you have access to all the pages. And so you go to on the menu bar, you go to committee, and you go to courtroom observers, and then another menu will come down, and you can fill out a courtroom observer form, and it comes to us. And then we send it out to everybody in your state, plus the everybody that's an NLA member in your state, plus the courtroom observer pool, because we have people that, you know, basically if there's anything near to them, or it depends. Some people will drive, you know, a few hours to go to help somebody.
Okay.
So,
right, super.
Well,
but,
I'll tell you what, address.
What?
Tomorrow. Give the time and address tomorrow.
But it doesn't sound like he just sounds like he's filing some papers. It didn't sound like he needed witness. He didn't need observers yet. But then when you go to the courtroom observer menu, there's the courtroom observer request form. There's also a courtroom observer protocol page that has like 11 points, and one of them is a link to getting a free press pass. So that if you're actually the press, it's harder for them to tell you not to record. And also an affidavit instructions and affidavit form to download, so that you can, any witnesses can, you know, we want them to take notes if they can't record in particular, but then they fill out the affidavit, you know, which is evidence what they've been doing.
All right, super.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I will check it out. I'm glad I caught on here for just a little bit. I'm going to have to hop off here, but I'll check it out. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
And you guys are on every night, every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
9 o'clock Eastern. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Laura. I appreciate
welcome.
What you guys do tonight. Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
See us on Monday night, 9 o'clock also.
Okay.
What was your name?
Same number.
Dennis Schulke.
If I give you my email address, could you email me?
Absolutely.
Talk to you.
Absolutely, sure.
Okay, it's scottpalmer21, scottpalmer21@yahoo.com. And if you would, shoot me an email, because I would love to correspond or even talk to you on the phone. I have some things that I've found out, too, that kind of correspond to what you found out, I think.
Okay. All right, super. Okay, I got it. All right. All right, thanks, folks. Have a good night.
Pleasure. Good night.
Okay. You bet. Bye-bye.
Anybody else? Uh-oh. Hello?
That was great.
Anybody else?
Nobody else wants to speak or has any upcoming court cases who hasn't maybe spoke recently?
I am here. I would like to say something. My name is
Sure,
Scott
go ahead.
I would like to say again what I brought up five meetings ago, is that...
Yeah, you're coming in a little low, though.
Okay, well, how's this?
That's
a little
better.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I've been told my mic settings can cause echo, and I kept it low for that reason. If this is where it should be, that's where I will keep it.
Yes, it's good now.
Oh. Right. I brought up the subject of shorthand. Nothing irritates a judge worse than when people are taking shorthand, because that is something that he cannot control. You're taking down dictation word by word.
Okay. I'm not sure if I completely follow. You're saying, what do you mean by shorthand?
Well, have you ever observed the older movies where Perry Mason's secretary Stella would take shorthand?
No, I'm not familiar with them.
I am, but I Carl's a little younger.
Yeah, I'm a little younger. I'm in my 20s still, so I don't remember those.
Well, anyway, shorthand is an ancient art of longhand shortcut writing, where they use symbols, and many times one shorthand person cannot understand another shorthand person's writings because it's an encrypted form of self-taught symbols that mean things.
I understand.
Many times it's the, they would have a symbol for the prosecutor's going to speak. And they'd have notes like the prosecutor's name so they can type it up later.
Right.
And there's certain standard phraseologies in a courtroom. And they have little symbols that represent the phraseology unless something's taken out of context. And basically what they do is they get a complete transcript. Now, today they have stenographers that sit there with a machine, and they're typing, and it's a phonetic thing. But I digress. What I'm trying to say is if you get people in there taking shorthand, that's something they fear because a lot of times the judge will ask the court reporter, the stenographer, to strike that from the record. And they can't do that if you're taking shorthand. Another thing is when the judge rises from his seat, he is no longer sitting. At that point in time, it's paramount to know that what the judge is saying is opinion, his own personal opinion, has nothing to do with the court. Many people don't know this.
No, that's a very good idea. Anybody who can write shorthand or even has their own shorthand should go ahead and do that, both for their own benefit to write faster and get more information, but also, too, to prevent them from controlling your notes. So that's a very good idea.
It used to be when secretaries got their training to be a secretary, because they did take training, they had to take typing and other skills. Shorthand was one of them. And before recording devices, or even after recording devices, is somebody calling? even after recording devices were available, but were quite expensive, secretaries would still take shorthand. Even up into the 70s, they took shorthand. Just a thought.
No, that's all great. Does anybody have any resources that could teach people how to write shorthand or something along those lines, because I'd be interested in doing that and maybe putting it up there for people to link to.
I'm going to go on YouTube and see if they have a video on it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So maybe we could put that on the page as part of the procedure.
Right.
Yeah. Good idea.
This is Lori from Colorado.
Hello. Hey,
yes. I'm 80 years old, and yes, I was proficient in shorthand and typing and all that because I was a legal secretary at one time. Mm-hmm. And so, but not having done it for several years, I just went on StartPage. I don't use Google. I use StartPage, and there are several simplified versions of shorthand, the books that you can self-teach yourself. Mm-hmm. So just find those. You know, you can get a book and just study it at home.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a great idea.
Yeah, I knew a girl when I was a teenager. We worked together in a Chinese restaurant, but we would sit, it was in a hotel or under a hotel, and we would sit on the stairs, and she would take down everything we talked about just as practice. I mean, because she was learning secretarial skills at the time while she, worked nights and just as a waitress. But, that was her practice, was just to sit around and when they had conversations, two or three people, she'd write down everybody's conversation, and she could write back to you. It was amazing. But just a thought.
No, these are all great ideas. I think what we could definitely do is maybe put something up on the Courtroom Observer page that will either introduce people to shorthand handwriting or something else, because I think once people see a video, that will allow them to explore deeper.
Yeah,
so,
and by the book.
Go ahead.
I found the link for shorthand, so I'm sending it to you.
Okay.
So you know that you know, they don't teach cursive writing anymore in school, so they said that cursive writing is going to be a secret language for seniors.
Yeah. I'm curious, though, was there a reason why they took it out?
Oh, probably. I mean, yeah. They're just trying to make everybody better and super.
It's called Common Core.
Let me ask you a question, and this is my thought on it, and you know, you can take it for what it's worth, but what is the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights written in?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
If nobody knows how to read it, they can put anything in print, you know, and get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I didn't even think about that. It's a really good point. So,
and this is Lori again. As well as all the history books, our founding fathers, everything that is taught on NLA, it's anything that's taught that we read in. So, and that's what they're trying to eliminate. I'm out.
I have an opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, first of all, intentional. I know they had found a book that has the original 13th Amendment in it, and it was 1938. And what did that do? That barred attorneys, lawyers, from holding public office. Why did they not want lawyers to hold public office? Well, they have their first allegiance, first and foremost, to the bar. Okay? So we have the American Bar Association. Well, I mean, it's a British, what is it, British Aristocratic Registry or something like that.
Accreditation Registry.
Accreditation Registry. Okay, well, that's British. So So when you have the title of Esquire, okay, Esquire is a title of nobility. And it's a foreign title of nobility because it's a British title, and you're here in America. So why would after the War of 1812 and a little afterwards did the 13th Amendment come up missing? And why didn't anybody do anything about it? Okay, well, that leads us up to the Civil War. We have a Constitution, and the Constitution is a signed contract between we the people and the government we created, telling them some of our God-given rights and how they will act upon it and their duties as a government. And under that government, we have the Treaty of Paris with Ben Franklin, which was actually signed when we were under the Articles of Confederation. But the Treaty of Paris basically wasn't free and clear. England wanted reparations for over 200, almost 300 years of building up infrastructure in the colonies that, you know, that they paid for. And so they wanted reparations, and Franklin agreed, and any international court would have agreed too. So we started making payments. Well, what's the collateral? Well, it's the land. Okay, well, now that we have this signed and sealed contract with the government from the 13 original colonies that are now states, what happens when the South seceded? Contract null and void. And Lincoln had to declare martial law to keep England from coming over here and taking their property, because that would have meant the Treaty of Paris is void, because there's no country. There's no country to make a treaty. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And before he could take, he had to bring the Union back together intact before he could take off martial law, or else international courts would find there is no country and England was the rightful owner of the land. So he went to war and brought the Union back intact, but then that he was shot in the head before he could take off martial law. Well, now you have all the lawyers in, well, who are the lawyers? Lincoln was a lawyer. Who are all the lawyers their first allegiance to, the British. Okay, and now we have lawyers all through Congress. They've taken over the courts through the Bar Association, where you can't even hardly move in a courtroom without by your leave of the Bar Association. So, you know, I think we've been taken over by the British, and we don't even know it. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that everybody's... the British have caused issues in the past in general, but even the British people are deceived by their own government. So,
yeah. Well, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How does the police and the government of the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and any other colony, ex-colony, British have? How do they act about their laws and the way that their police act toward the citizens? The same. The exact same. Like somebody is leading them. And a lot of people think it's the United States, you know, going out and... But what if it's the British using the United States because they're in charge?
No, that could... That's interesting. Well,
where does
I'm
our
not quite sure, but that's interesting. That's interesting to think about.
Just a thought. I stand down. I just thought I'd throw that in there for you.
Oh, great. Thanks. So, anybody else have anything they want to talk about? Laura, do you mind holding the floor for a minute? I'm going to try to put this video up.
No. Oh, you mean the one I sent you?
Mm-hmm.
On the shorthand?
Yes.
Okay. So, anybody got anything? Where's Crystal when you need her?
That poor lady.
Hello.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
I had decided my grandkids, I had just dropped them off.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been just going through a lot of different things.
You want to give us a report on Mark Cordova?
Mark Cordova.
Oh, well, he must be talking about another Crystal. He has a woman named Crystal from NLA that's been helping him with his case in Nevada. Where are you again?
Connecticut.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Because there was a gentleman that asked for my number, I believe it was last Monday, and I was trying to call him. I don't know if he was in Florida or whatever, but it was the wrong number. I guess it was like on the eminent domain and the quick claim deed and following, you know, the quick claim and the life use. So we got the papers. We had to go up to the college and get all that stuff together, and they changed the documents, so we're just trying to put some things together on that, and then I'm going to put my papers in hopefully before Friday, and because I did mention to you about what P.T. Barnum had done, and he put the 400-year quit claim for all the residents of Bridgeport, so, and I mean, it's to help and protect people's property. And I did that affidavit, so I got my volume and page number with my sole name on it. And also, who was it, the one who said put the no trespassing on your property, the three? I think we got it on one of the calls, so I got those also. And
have you done a land patent on your property?
A land patent?
Yes.
Now, how do you do that?
It's complicated.
Yeah.
It's complicated, but it's very powerful. It means you own the dirt and everything in it, and what sets upon it that bank can take, but they can't trespass on the property.
Well, I have to say, they're still doing it anyway. I have friends that have a land patent, and they threw them off their property and sold it underneath them, but they fought it for 2 years, and they went and lived went back on their property, and then they got thrown off again, and they have a land patent. So I feel like they're just doing whatever they want anyway.
Well, what's happening up here, there's like 8 houses around the area where I am, and they foreclosed on them, but there was never a foreclosure sign on their property. Okay. People started working on the property, and now nothing has been active on it at all. No sign or nothing. And no one is signing off on anything. And when we went to check the land records, I checked all 3 because one of the neighbors, she was so stressed out, she had an aneurysm and died 2-3 months ago.
Oh.
No one has yet. She's been out of that house since last September, October. It's almost coming up in a year. Nothing has been active on that property. They started, and now the other house down the street, it looked like somebody was moving in, but now nobody's touching it. It's inactive. But when you go check out the property, it's still in the people's names. So a lot of people are filing different grievances, along with myself and others. And this Saturday, because I was supposed to have them last Saturday, and we had 13 people shot in our city. So he asked me, could he do it on Sunday? And I said, well, I didn't have my whole team together, so we're going to try to shoot for it for this Saturday. So I got the paperwork just on the basic stuff with my deeds and all that stuff. And also I was just on TV for the education and stuff like that. And I got quite a few people signed up with National Liberty, you know, because it's just so much mess going on with the education and people losing their homes. And it's crazy. We got 8 different lottos per day. And as I said, nope, we should never even have a deficit. Any state that has a lotto should never have a deficit, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, that's another issue. And I said, you know, it's just like when people are complaining, I said, well, put on your thinking cap, you know? I said, when they have the census, everybody gets money for the allotment. When a child goes to school, every child gets about a good almost $20,000. Most of our kids here, they put them in special education, so that's a double salary. So they get close to $40,000, $50,000. And they're not spending not even $50 a year on these children for education. They took away the school security. The kids have no books, no papers. I mean, Connecticut's a very rich state. It's being run like a third world country in some of the inner cities, and it's a nightmare. It's a travesty what's happening. But people got to, you know, they complain. I said, well, you know what? I tell them, I said, about our laws being violated, and I tell them the parents, look under the National Liberty Alliance, start teaching your children. I said, as a matter of fact, these schools are going to be so horrendous because they're full of asbestos on contaminated soil. I said, you know what? You have a right to pull your kid out of the school, homeschool your kids, or go back at the city and say, look, I would like this X amount of money for my child's education. They gave all these kids bogus high school diplomas, and these kids can't read, write, spell. And by the way, they took out cursive writing out of all the schools. How in the
world?
Yeah,
I know. We talked about that. Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, it's just crazy from what's happening, you know. But we're just, you know, one individual. But as I said, we're just trying to teach the people, teach the parents, you know. But it's just so crazy.
What you can do.
What's that?
What you can do about that is have Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
You can form Sunday schools where you read from the Bible and you teach them how to write in cursive, and you
mm-hmm.
teach them everything that they're not being taught, and you teach them civics, and you teach them common law, and you start preparing them to take on Uncle Slam.
Oh, well, you know what? We do that because I'm a Jehovah Witness. We go door to door. So a lot of people that didn't know how to read are now learning to read. And we also got everything on the JW.org, and they got the movies they can read along right with it. So when people have a difficulty time and understanding, you know, it's been very, very helpful. I mean, it helped me out immensely, too. And like with the cursive writing, and that's what I've been working on, even with my grandchildren and stuff like that, you know. And while they're learning, it's just like I'm teaching them to be leaders, to teach other children, you know, and teach and learning the reading, writing, and the spelling to be fun, you know. But it's really, really crazy what's been going on. And I'm trying to get that education, that patent from 1905 that went from kindergarten to eighth grade. I saw a copy of it, and hopefully I'll be getting it soon. That's what everybody needs to be learning, because what our children are getting in the schools, it's nothing. You know, they rely too much on the computers and too much on the calculators. These kids can't add, subtract, multiply, divide, nothing.
You need to teach them to read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the preamble to the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, and the Anti-Federalist Papers.
Okay.
Those documents will stretch their minds and will give them the foundation of why the Constitution says what it says, and it couples right directly with the Bible. It comes out of Scripture.
Right.
Excuse me, this is Lori from Colorado. Have you checked the Wall Builders Network for homeschooling or, you know, education and all that? Because he was a teacher. David Martin was a teacher, and I've met both of he and his son.
Oh, okay.
I got a lot of their information. I hand out their DVDs and NCCS DVDs also.
Okay.
They have a Founders Bible as well that tells our history in the Bible in commentary. It's a fantastic Bible.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's Wall Builders. That's Wall Builders, David Barton.
I got mine through Kenneth Copeland by phone. You can't order it on the Internet.
David Barton, okay.
David Barton.
Also, before I forget, David, hold on one second, please. David. Did anybody hear about the sheriff in Arizona getting arrested?
No, but we had one arrested here in Colorado today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
This was a top sheriff, and I think they said he was a sheriff for like 30-somewhat years.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Arpaio. Arpaio.
Who
Arpaio?
Arrested him?
Yeah.
No, this was out on the West Coast. I think it was 2 days ago. I was watching them like 2, 3 in the morning, CNN News. And this guy did so many corrupted things, and he was a top sheriff. Darn it.
I didn't hear the whole thing or commit it to memory, but I kept hearing this past week that something about Arpaio's really being leaned on. And I don't even know what the story behind him is, but I do know the name.
Well, he's the most constitutional, one of the most constitutional sheriffs we have. He also dressed the illegals in pink underwear and pink outfits rather than the orange. It was just a way of shaming them, and I totally support Arpaio. But the sheriff that was arrested here in Colorado, I heard that on my way home from work tonight, sexual harassment and absconding with funds and everything, and that's the same county that we had one arrested for sexual harassment 2 years ago. So I don't know what's going on.
Okay, that was in Colorado?
Yeah, El Paso County.
Prison is what he's the charge allegedly having.
There's several breaking stories right now. We're going to start with new information.
Bring your family to...
Sorry, that was the web page. But it looks like he's been charged with having sex with prisoners in custody.
Right.
Oh, wow.
A real good guy.
Wait a minute. That's the one in Colorado?
Colorado, yes.
Yeah. County Sheriff Thomas J. Hanna.
Uh-huh. You're right.
Sedgwick County Sheriff's Deputy, or I guess it's Sedgwick County Sheriff.
Anyway, how long was he sheriff for?
Well, let's see. It says here. Doesn't give a bio on him.
This guy might have been in his 60s or what, his 70s?
I don't know. He doesn't look like it from his picture, but it could be an old picture.
This guy was a rather old.
Laura, what were you trying to say about Sheriff Clark when that guy who's a whistleblower about the attorneys when he started talking?
There's a guy that came on last week who told us that Sheriff Clark is not a constitutional sheriff. He thinks habeas corpus should be thrown out. He's all over the place. I talked to John about him too, and he said he's kind of mixed up. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like him. He's a showboater, and I think he's trying to get politically into some kind of position. And
probably.
I do not like a lot of his views. Some of them I stand with, but a lot of them I don't care for.
Again, this is Lori from Colorado, and I'm a personal friend of Sheriff Clark's.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't mince words, and that's what people don't like about him. And he goes on these TV shows, and they confuse what he says, and he gets angry, and he doesn't come back at him, probably the way that people expect him to. But he is a constitutional sheriff, and he backs NLA, but he just can't get involved with us because of who he is and what he does. But that's Sheriff David Clark Jr. So, like I said, I'm a personal friend of his, and so don't judge him until you really get to know him. But he cannot get involved with us, just like Glenn, the one from where the Bundys, where the guys were going to his county and the boy was shot. See, he can't get involved with us either because of who he is, and I mean, they'll shoot him.
Yeah.
Have you started a committee of safety there?
Here in Colorado?
Yes.
I'm not in the county. I'm working on them. There's a lot. We've got a lot of them going here in Colorado. But I'm not in Sheriff Clark's county, state.
Well, in your membership, organizers and such, you will find someone that is in his county, and have their committee of safety contact him, and then NLA can come to his rescue.
For what?
For backing him. As you said, he's standing alone. He's taking on the press like Trump is, and he's being raked over the coals. He doesn't have a support network. The Committee of Safety can be his support network. And that sheriff can draw on that Committee of Safety and the militia. He can deputize every man, woman, and child in that county if he wants to. And he needs to have the supporting documents of the sheriff presented to him by NLA so he knows his power.
That's easier said than done. I went to, and that's my opinion, I went to a Cops That Cook breakfast here on Friday morning and handed out a lot of the COA, our flyers, told them what we were about, and I said I would be contacting them this week to see, to see if we couldn't get something started. And I said that we were only, our whole and total purpose is to support law enforcement. And where they need people, they just need to call on us. And I had like this other lady said, a lot of them, yeah, took the flyers and gave me their name, and I am to come and see them. And then as I was walking out, one of them said, you know, I personally like what you're doing, but I can tell you right now that the sheriff, and he gave me his name, of this county will not, you know, you go ahead and do what you want to, but, you know, you're going to be under the eye of the FBI, and he's not going to claim to have anything to do with you. Mm. Of course, that's here in Colorado, and you have to understand Colorado has been sabotaged and overrun by the We the People in Colorado and Judge Anna, and, you know, oh, that's a horrific mess that we're having to overcome here.
Is that the lady that tried to take the affidavit process and sue people for money with the affidavit process?
Well, that's Judge Anna and Judge Juan Marino Fouch, whatever his name was. And then there's Gary Darby, and there's Bob Black, and there's Judge Doucette and Lee Arthur Rice II. And they're still, you know, they're still hot and heavy after the Hammonds and after the Bundys, and you know, they're in touch daily with LaVoy's wife. I mean, they are just, they're just raising hell all over the place out west, and filing their bills of exchange, yes, against the bonds.
Well, what they're dealing with is they're dealing in fiction. It's kind of like a Trojan horse. They're being allowed to continue because everything they do is to no avail. What we're doing, on the other hand, is different. What we're doing is a grassroots takedown or take back of our country at the county level. And it's informing the sheriff that he is the lead or chief law enforcement executive in his county.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a sheriff that will back up and support the Constitution, then we don't need FEMA and the federal government coming in with UN troops to take us over.
Well, how I have approached it with a couple of sheriffs here in Colorado is that I never use the word teach. You know, I am there to get his input on this. Here's a booklet that I've put together, and that I, you know, I'd like to know what he thinks of this, and I'll get back with him in a week. And I go back in a week, and when I go back, four of them now have had a stack six inches tall from We the People and Judge Anna. And I have this one piece of paper or this one little booklet that I want to have his opinion on. And he says, now I want to know who's telling the truth. Who am I supposed to be afraid of? Who's the FBI coming after? You know, this bunch or this bunch? So this is what I'm going up against here in Colorado. So if we get any committees of safety going here in Colorado, whoever accomplishes that needs a gold medal. I'm out.
I have opinion on that matter. This is Scott.
Go ahead.
The way that the attorneys took over was through the courts. They took the courts over, and then they could control the sheriff and the government. And once they got into government, then they could really control it. We have to do the same thing, except in a little different style. We have to get the sheriffs first behind us. Once you got the person with the gun behind you, then when you go into court and the judge or magistrate starts violating somebody's constitutional rights, the sheriff can then arrest them, and they can be prosecuted. Now, that being said, once that starts down and we get enough sheriffs behind us and we start prosecuting some of these judges and magistrates for violating the rights, the other judges and magistrates are going to either fall in line or you know, face the same penalties. and they will fall in line. Once we get the courts constitutional, then we can go after the government for being unconstitutional. But it's the only way we're going to be able to do it, and it starts with the sheriff. And that's pretty much my opinion.
Okay, this is Lori again from Colorado. What's happening here in Colorado and in the West is these guys that I said were judges, Judge Joaquin and Judge Gary and Judge Bob and Judge Doucette and Judge, I don't want to name the other guys, but they're not real judges. They have made themselves judges, and they are calling themselves judges. I don't know if their paperwork is signed by Judge Anna from Alaska or not, but they're not real judges. And they're sending at least one paper a week to all the sheriffs in Colorado, signed by, they're calling themselves judges, but they're, so that's my frustration.
How are they sending these documents?
Certified mail. Return receipt requested.
Mail fraud. Carries a 3-year sentence.
That's
now, the only reason the FBI isn't going after them, which they could, is because these people are falsely confusing the public.
Precisely. So where I stand, go ahead.
They're just allowing these people to continue because they're just like these Black Lives Matter people funded by Soros or the Hillary Clinton Foundation funding the Bernie protesters. It's the same thing. It's a Trojan horse. Mm-hmm. They're there to confuse the issue so that a person that has a genuine issue is not heard. And that's what you have to get across, that point right there.
Right. So that's why when I go into the sheriff's offices, I take my little, 6 to 7 sheets in a nice looking little folder, has NLA on, the committees of safety, our address and everything. I make ours as professionally looking as possible. I only want him to see the truth. And so he receives all this other stuff, and I've had the FBI here checking on me and checking on the other two coordinators to make sure that we are not with them, that we're not with Judge Anna. So we're defeating that as much as we can, but it's an uphill battle and it's a daily battle. And God bless the rest of you if you can, get the COSs going in your state without going through what we're going through here. God bless you, and I support you completely.
One more thing, there's a disclaimer. NLA put out a disclaimer about some of these people that used to be NLA members. Did you give the sheriff a copy of the disclaimer?
Yes. It's in my little booklet.
Yep. You need to have him read that right in front of you so that he gets on the same page with you so you can discern there's a difference between your group and the other group. The other group is a faction.
Mm-hmm. I know. We're working on it. Well,
that answers the question this man had. Who do I believe? Here's two stacks of paper. That says it right there, and it gives a foundation for the reason they're disclaimed.
Well, it's we're working on it. That's all I can say. It's easier said than done. We're working on it.
Yes, ma'am. I am not trying to detract from your efforts. I am merely trying to state the obvious to me.
Right.
The man reached out and asked a question, and you have the answer. You just have to do it in the proper way that won't really embarrass the man. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you don't like to use the word, quote, teach, but you can instruct him.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm hoping that God opens the doors here. You can't go in and knock them over the head. But I do keep showing up with the same professional attitude, and the same, I brought this, and so if the sheriff has time to read this, maybe if he doesn't have time to read it, maybe the lieutenant could read it, or the assistant sheriff, or, you know, that's what I did last week.
Well, the proof's in the pudding. All this sheriff has to do is tell him, if you have any doubts, sheriff, why don't I mail you our NLA thing, and then you can arrest both myself and this judge for mail fraud, and we'll go to court and see who's right.
Yep. Well, I haven't used that yet, so.
I mean, that to a sheriff, you know what that's like saying? My grandfather was a sheriff of Plentywood, Montana. And I got to tell you, when you put yourself in harm's way and promote the acid test, that sheriff's going to have respect. He'll listen then.
Yeah. Well, I hear you.
Well, it's 10 o'clock, and so I think stop the recording. And what, Carl?
Oh, I said I think we're good.
Okay. Good night, everybody.